and blessings, my diaspora family. Welcome back to another episode of the Revolution of Black Love Podcast. We back in the DMV. We in a spender block. We actually in D.C., a.k.a. Chocolate City. And we're here today interviewing another legacy business, Industrial Bank. This is actually our royal family. We ain't talking about the ones in UK. I know some of y'all be getting confused. Over in Europe, that's not our royal family, because your royal family don't say into slavery and all of that. They help you. They support you. This is what we're going to talk about today with the Industrial Bank. But they started an economic legacy, but they have helped three generations of us folks of African descent in the DC, DMV area, in various states. Very powerful. So come and join us. Also, I want to give a shout out to Dad's Day, Harriet Tubman, escaped slavery, sought freedom, and came back and helped others. That's the definition of family and friends. All right, my Black people. All right, peace and blessings. Come and join us. Come and join us.
Patricia Mitchell. Thank you so much for allowing us to come, invade your space, and interview you today. Welcome to the family, Black Love Podcast.
Oh, thank you, and welcome to the Industrial Bank family.
Thank you. Oh, you said it so professional. y'all know my dads, I've been getting super excited interviewing Black legacy businesses. But this is a Black legacy business. We are in Industrial Bank, from what I understand, the first branch, U Street.
Yes, this was the first branch that opened in 1934.
Now, I did some research because you gave me homework. Y'all called her. She was like, you got to read this book. Okay. So I got that. Make sure y'all get this. Every household should have this. But as I'm looking through the book and looking at the various photos, the photo journey, this actually was during the Great Depression. Is this correct?
Correct.
Please talk to us about that. So I'm like, how is that even possible?
It was one of the few banks open during the Great Depression. But in 1934, there was no other Black bank here in Washington, D.C. to serve Black residents.
Okay.
So Blacks could deposit their money into majority banks, but they couldn't get loans. There had been another Black bank called Industrial Savings Bank.
I read about that.
Yes, that occupied this same space.
Okay.
But they closed in 1932.
Okay.
So that left Washington, D.C. Black residents without a bank of their own.
Maybe, Ash, when we were talking previously on the phone, you just said that Black people could not get loans. You were saying about the importance of loans. Can you speak to us about the importance of loans, how they keep a bank functioning, but also how they help us? Mm-hmm.
So loans is an asset to a bank.
Okay.
And assets is what we need.
Okay.
Deposits is a liability because we have to give that back to the customer.
Okay.
So we use the deposits to lend out money.
Okay.
So if we're not making loans, then we're not making any money.
Okay. So y'all got y'all assignment. Everybody come get a loan, or at least apply for a loan. You may even give everybody a loan now. But at least apply for a loan so we can keep Industrial Bank going. One of the things I was reading about your grandfather, Jesse Mitchell, he was so young. We think about our folks doing Black history, or just our own historical journey. A lot of these folks are doing things. He was young.
He was young. He was born in 1881. So I can't do the math quick enough.
Don't worry about it. Somebody else will.
Born in Texas, Navasota, Texas, and he came to Washington, D.C. to go to Howard Law School.
Okay. HU, we're going to give a shout out to HU.
Yes.
And this is him. Handsome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's you. It
yes.
is. He just didn't do us alone. We had a group of other folks, other Black men, did it together.
Yeah, his friends, friends and business associates in this area. Okay. All the Blacks during that time, all the Blacks knew each other. They lived in only a couple of parts of the city.
Okay.
And this Shaw area in Northwest Washington is one of those areas where Blacks live. This was Black Broadway. This is the corridor where Blacks had their business. So printing, shoe shine,
everything.
Attorneys, was all along here. And a lot of Blacks were in business for themselves in order to earn a living.
Okay, and you said this was Black Broadway.
We're all along here on U Street.
Black people just doing their thing.
Exactly, and everybody knew each other.
I wanted to read some verses because this episode we opened up with Pharrell and JC, Black Entrepreneur. In the beginning of the song, he says, "You gotta let go if you wanna fly and take the lead. You gotta risk it all. You gotta let them know because you'll never know what's in store." And as I was going through this, your grandfather, your son, Doyle, your brother, Doyle, Patricia, he set the standard. He took a risk. just doing he depression, did. Just black. And I'm like, what is this? But it goes through your whole lineage. This focus.
But he took a risk, but also the 287 shareholders took a risk.
Come on.
Because they came with their savings and they bought shares in the bank in order to raise capital for the bank to open the doors. We had to raise capital in order to the regulators would let us have a license to open the doors.
So you kind of set the formula ingredient. You always want to have that risk taker, but you need community buy-in.
And yes, and they did. They believed in it. It was the black churches, the black people that lived in the neighborhood. I mean, they all took a risk. And some of them that had their savings in the prior black bank, which had nothing to do with industrial bank here, some of them lost their own because the bank closed and they never got their money back. That was before the FDIC insurance. Now you get your money back through the FDIC insurance.
So that's why you said it took a risk, because they didn't know if it was going to happen again.
Exactly.
And this is something new, some startup.
Right. They didn't know. Exactly. Wow. So they took a lot of people took a risk. And I can't imagine that he thought 90 years later that we would
come on
be
now.
Here.
Come on now. I don't brought him in here. I know he like, go ahead, Fred, do it, go ahead.
And maybe that's what he wanted. I don't know. I never met with my grandfather.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I wish I did. But so I don't know really what he was thinking. But I can't imagine that he and the board members, because they were board members, I don't know that they thought, okay, 90 years later, Dutch will still be here.
You know, when we was talking, and you gave me so much homework, and just like you just filling in so much information. As I'm going through the book, and we talk about the community, the risks, it took the buy-in. You all do so much pouring out to the community. I mean, it's a bank, but I mean, all the people that came into the bank, y'all in the community, y'all know everybody. And so what it helped me, this dawned me for the first time, if you pour into the community, they're going to pour into you.
True. Okay.
And I believe that's part of why it's 9
that's
years
true.
Later. Y'all constantly, generation after generation, and this goes towards our black businesses. You start a business, you wait, people going to come in. No, it don't work like that. Mm-hmm. Tell me about why y'all so saturated into the community. You knew people. You knew the people you was giving the loans to. You knew the families. Speak to that.
Well, back in the day, we didn't have the regulations that did. So basically, we were given loans with handshakes. So my grandfather and a man named Tally Holmes, yes, they would give mortgages by going up to visit the property. By going up
in person.
Right, and visit the property. And Tally Holmes would, the industrial bank would do the first mortgage, and Tally Holmes would do the second mortgage that gave the money for the down payment.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. Now, that was before regulation. That was before
word
appraisal came around.
But that also speaks to the importance of having home ownership, because from if you have home ownership, you can build empires. You got that landing space, right?
Yes, and that's how most blacks have build net worth, is really through home ownership.
Okay.
Most black families.
Okay, and that's what I got when I saw it. I said, wow, they're going after work and going in person. But also when it comes to other black businesses later on, you all help finance banks, trucking companies, hospitals. I read it too, where they would not give loans to our black churches. And your grandfather was like, God never goes out of business, okay? God never. I was like, only a black person can say that, okay? He understood.
So when I started in banking in the 80s, and we always made loans to churches, always.
Okay.
And because they supported the bank, we made loans to them. We never thought about not making a loan to a church. Okay. But it was not something that majority banks were doing in the 80s. They were not doing it because they would say they don't want to be on the front page of the newspaper having to foreclose on a church.
Yes.
So they would call me, because I started in the loan department, they would call me and say, I have a church. They have our deposit with us at another majority bank. we would like you to do the loan and we keep the deposits. Mm-hmm. So we would make the loan. Now banks make loans to churches all the time. They found out it's a lucrative business. There's very few of them that have to go into foreclosure.
Because black people do go to church and they do tithe.
Yes.
Okay, so there's a lot of money in that. When you mentioned, you said you worked in the loan department when we was talking, you said you opened your first bank account. How old was you?
9. I had $5. Yep, I saved up my little allowance. And actually, I was very proud of it, too.
So already you was getting introduced into economics. When we spoke, you talked about the importance of our youth. And us, we don't talk enough about economics, finance.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that?
There is very little financial literacy in schools. So, or colleges. So when you come out of school, a lot of times people don't know a lot about financial literacy. There are some schools now that are incorporating that into their program. They might have a finance academy, and they're doing it at some of the high schools, but not all of the schools. There's so few people that do that. So we do financial literacy at schools. We go into schools and we speak to them. We also, as you and I talked about, the D.C. jail, so we do the financial literacy program.
You go into the jail, though. People don't be wanting, people trying to come out of the jails. Now, y'all go into the jails. What started that whole?
So, that was started by two women here at the bank, Jackie Bowles and Melanie Woodard. And they started going as a personal request. They were doing that on their own personal time. And then it just grew into something else. So now they go on, and I go sometimes, they go probably, I would say they go 25 or 30 times a year.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so they've developed a full financial literacy program, communication, savings, budgeting, credit. I do the purchasing real estate portion. So it's about 7 weeks. Okay. And
you're going to prison.
Yeah, it's great.
This is our royal family. Black people do this. Go find each other. Where you all
it's
at?
Actually okay. Very good. I've had actually the best experience ever. Have never encountered a problem. Not one person ever being disrespectful.
Yeah.
In any way, it is very, very.
My sister over here, she's saying, yeah, y'all can't see it. She doing our photos, but she like, yeah.
Okay. It's very fulfilling, very fulfilling. So Jackie and Mel, they've set up this agenda, this program. And then at the end, they've developed a little graduation. So they make, and I have to give all the credit to them, they make certificates. Jackie bakes food. And we're going in a couple of weeks to a graduation. So I go for the purchasing real estate and I go for the graduation. And Jackie brings all this food that she cooks at home. And they take pictures and they have their certificates. And it's wonderful. And a lot of them we keep in touch with once they're released.
Wow.
Keep in touch with. And they're actually doing really good things. They're doing, some of them are... still working with Department of Corrections. Some of them have established their own businesses. Mm-hmm. They're doing some really good things.
The reason that was so inspiring, not surprised, because as I mentioned, I have an organization. We get elderly people out of prison across the nation. And I read about that in the Washington Informer. I'm like, they doing what?
Mm-hmm.
Because most people, and this is why so many of us incarcerated, we have forgotten about our people inside.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't visit them like we should.
Mm-hmm.
And once we don't care about, that's an invisible population. So for a bank, and then you got employee input. You saw your employees doing it, and you actually implemented as a part of one of your organizational programs, because
mm-hmm.
this is important, the voice of the employee, and you do it as a whole, and it's like, this is, I think, part of the Mitchell legacy. The community is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's down the street, it's behind bars.
It is everywhere.
It's Duke Ellington, it's Sidney Poitier. We're gonna talk about some of the folks that have been up in here, okay? It's community and it's family, and you give to them, they don't give back to you.
Mm-hmm. And they do. So surprisingly to a lot of people, they open accounts. The inmates open accounts. And yes, they do. They have money. They open accounts and we get the paperwork and bring the paperwork when we go. They sign appropriate paperwork and Jackie Bowles works with Department of Corrections to get the money transferred to the bank. Not because we ask them to, because we don't. They just do it because they have gotten to know Jackie and Melanie and they've become connected with them. And
that's like, made me cry because I feel the love. Because nobody cares about our folks inside and they feel that love, and so that's why they come and find you.
And here's this really surprising thing, that the word has gotten out around the country so that Jackie and Melanie get calls and letters from prisons around the country. They want to open accounts. They want us to come do the financial literacy. Yes, I have a letter that I just sent to a gentleman, Department of Corrections on the Eastern Shore. Because he's asking about how he can buy stock in the bank.
Wow. We're about to put you on our board of directors. My goodness. You know, as you, let me get myself together because I begin counting kind of emotion because I was feeling that love. Just, that's why it's called black love. You have black love within yourself, and then you manifest into reality. And so Industrial Bank is black love to the community, the whole diaspora.
Yes.
And it's obviously passed down to you because I can feel that energy. But as you're talking about the community inside our prison, you interview, and then they come out, y'all also introduce them to generational wealth.
Yes.
You help us out generational wealth. Part of my assignment, one thing.
Can we talk to them about that?
You had me do. You was like, have you read the book, Our Black Year? Y'all, everybody got to get this book.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, but I eat books for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So it's like, no problem. Let me order.
Yes. I love that book.
Oh, my goodness. I got my This book is husband and wife duo, Maggie Anderson. I forget the husband name. But they decided to do a whole year just nothing but patronizing black businesses.
Right.
And sometimes we think, okay, we know we're in a system of racism, white supremacy, racism, discrimination, this done handicapped us. But it ain't just that. Why we got a lack of black business.
Yes.
We part of that too, of why they don't continue standing. I read this book. Y'all need to read this book. You're gonna be like, oh my God.
It's very interesting. And it was very difficult. Because if you think, what they did is they said, okay, for 365 days of the year, we're spending every single one of our dollars in the black community. Now, it could be a business that was 100% owned by a black, or it could be partially owned. But that was their criteria. And it was difficult. Sometimes they had to drive 35 or 40 miles just to get to that business. Because it wasn't up the street. And if you think about it, and I've thought about it many times, to commit to that, okay, where would I go to the grocery store?
Let me just say this. In D.C., there are over 45 grocery stores. D.C. is broken up into wards, 8 wards. Out of the 45 grocery stores, the 2 wards that had the predominantly African-American population, Ward 7 is in Ward 8. 2 are in Ward 7, and 1 is in Ward 8. I just said it was 45 grocery stores.
Right.
You just said, where would I go?
Right, but none of those are black owned.
And then, come on, thank you, none of those are black owned.
Right.
So when we say go to the, even this, and this is what you point to, what she pointed out in the book, even you go to the black community, say, well, go spend your black dollars on black community. If it ain't black owned.
Right. So, you know, I go to Giant and Safeway. Where would I go?
Where would I go? And she's points it out in, even with our banks, we know Industrial Bank is one of it. It's like 4,000. I read something like 45 black owned. Some people say 240, but they say black led, black owned. So there's a difference. Black owned means it's owned by black folks, right?
Now, what's the 240 that you're referring to?
The 240 is the 240 black owned banks, black led. That's one statistic, but that's not true. That's not
you're
true.
You're talking about black owned banks?
Black owned and black led. They put the number.
There's only 19.
Black banks,
black owned. And they did what you black owned and or black managed or serving the black population predominantly black board, black management.
And I brought that out because when you said that, you know, I was talking about the grocery stores and have black owned, so that number, somebody see that online and it says black led, but that don't mean it's black. Oh, you see what I'm saying?
Correct.
That's a difference.
And there is a difference, but they're predominantly serving the black community.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is the importance, and this is what she's bringing out, is that it has to be black owned. It's a whole different.
Correct. Or partially black owned.
Exactly. Yes. It's a whole different dynamic, because even when I know the business you talk about that are black owned, they're going to engage with the community. Mm-hmm. You're going to look for that. But then we had some businesses in here, they still closed.
Yes, they did. And the grocery store that I'm thinking of that Maggie speaks to, is she couldn't get people to come there. She said it was a very nice store. They had fresh food. So it was, there were some times I was very sad.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I think it points underneath, we have black businesses, but folks, we have got to, you got to go in, you got to support.
Right.
Like, you took it all the way back. You say, I say, I had a lady, your grandfather, he was like, no, hold up. The other folks, they took a risk too.
Mm-hmm. They did, yeah.
So it wasn't just them. And so folks, please, this is our homework from Patricia Mitchell, please. You got it. Everybody should have this book before you start a business, whatever city you're in, because the statistics is off the charts.
It is.
But
it's very, very interesting.
But also she talks about our psychology, how we think of each other. It might be a black-owned grocery store here, but a European lad may open a grocery store. You've been going here and they open it, and guess what? We've been we'll go to the European lad, white-owned, and this one will get shut down,
mm-hmm.
because it begins to lose money. So it also goes to our psychology.
Yeah, it does, because sometimes we think they're, as some people would say, their ice is colder.
Come on, my grandma was just saying that. Yes, exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But there's been a big movement towards supporting black businesses again.
Yes.
You know, especially ever since the Floyd issue.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people have jumped on board about supporting. Because during the time when people were not supporting black businesses as much,
mm-hmm.
The HBCU suffered. So now there's been a resurgence of people wanting to support black businesses, black colleges.
It's a good time. It's a good time to be black, y'all, and melanated, okay?
Yeah,
put that out there. I want to talk about, I'm so excited, because we know called up the ancestors in here. We know many folks, like we said, it's a black Broadway. And we're going to take Legacy Industrial Bank another 100 years. Talk about some of the folks. I mean, you knew some of these folks. Y'all pictures in here. Yeah. Some of the people that came and graced y'all presence that came into the bank. Now, we know this is the first one. We talked about some of the folks that graced the presence. And so, folks, this is a historical bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Historical site, sacred site. Okay, we've been ancestors over this. Okay. Tell us what we got.
So, this is opening day, 1934.
Okay. Wow.
That's when everything in banks was dark brown.
Okay.
So, everything is there, and see all the flowers and the pictures. People had congratulated.
Oh my God, yes,
my grandfather and all the staff, you know, by sending flowers, because it was a big deal.
And I read in your history book, it wasn't just black folks sending flowers, it was white-owned banks too, and other folks sending flowers.
Oh, yes.
Because they're going to respect that. You do something for your people.
Exactly.
That's a big deal.
It was a very big deal.
Yes.
A black bank.
Yes.
It was a very big deal.
Wow.
So here, this is my grandfather, Jesse Mitchell, on the left,
and my father,
Doyle Mitchell Sr., on the right. And that's in front of that vault right there.
Okay, the vault that we were sitting in front of, y'all.
That we were sitting in front of.
Wow.
The same vault.
Oh, my. Okay. Oh, it's open. I see it now.
It's
okay.
Open.
Uh-huh. Wow. Okay.
Yep, and then this is the outside of the building where we are right now.
Then in the 1930s.
Yep.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
I mean. And here, these are my grandparents on the left. So Jesse's on the far left.
Jackie Robinson?
Jesse on the far left is my grandfather.
All right.
And Beatrice next to him, that's my grandmother. And then on the far right is Jackie Robinson, who he was very close to.
Mm-hmm. And let us know, who was Jackie Robinson for our diaspora audience?
Oh, the
baseball player.
Famous,
the greatest baseball player.
Famous baseball player. The woman next to him, we're not sure who that is. And surprisingly, I have met
Jackie Robinson's son, he came here to the bank maybe about 5 years ago. And we asked him, who is the woman next to him? He said he didn't know.
So. Now, before we go to them, I want to, we didn't mention it, but talk about the importance of the wives, the women. We know the men doing the bank, but the significance of the, you need your wife, your women to make this go. Your mother, your grandmother, talk about that.
Oh, that's very true. So my grandmother, Beatrice, she was a school teacher, but she was very supportive of his business ventures, his business relationships. People used to come over to their house all the time, not too far from here in LaJoy Park.
Okay.
They would come over and they would talk to him about running for mayor or opening up.
I guess so.
And so she was very supportive of those relationships.
Wow.
And recently, the house where they lived in LaJoy Park, the street was named after him.
Oh, okay. Yes. We gotta go see that. Okay.
Jesse Mitchell Way, and that was earlier this year.
Much deserved.
Yes.
I was be quoting this song. It's about Neo and Stabbins.
Make me better.
I'm a movement by myself, talking about the man, but I'm a force when we're together. When black man, black woman come together, ain't nothing like that. Okay. Let's go on to the next one.
And this was at Joe Louis's birthday party.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay. Woo! Look at these black people looking good.
Yeah, so we circled my grandfather on the far left.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah.
Ooh, beautiful, handsome, gorgeous.
Yep. And here's his birthday party also with Duke Ellington, Apple Waters.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Look at this cake. Oh my goodness. Gorgeous.
But everybody knew each other. It actually, I'm disappointed I kind of didn't live in that time.
You said you missed it.
So they all knew each other and they lived in the area. Duke Ellington lived two blocks over.
Wow.
Yeah, my father was born in a house two blocks over.
Oh my goodness.
So it was all about U Street.
And not just and they're gorgeous, but this, you can see the pride, the confidence. I mean, black reinforcing black love all up in there.
Yes, and then here's the picture with Sidney Poitier.
Wow.
That's my father on the far left.
Okay, yes.
And
yes.
The rest of the people in the picture were long time employees.
That's another thing I read in the book. Some of the folks that long time employees, he was like, how did y'all stay so long? They said they never thought about going anywhere else.
Right, yes.
That means you feel like family.
Absolutely. And also, remember, people didn't move around as much then.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now for somebody to stay 5 years is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Then those people, I knew those ladies.
Wow.
I didn't know the gentleman on the far right, but I knew all four of those ladies, and they all worked for the bank from 30 to 40 years.
Mm. And again, it takes them to help build the foundation. We're helping it last so long. Some of y'all folks here, some of y'all, we're going to talk some of these. Tell us.
Okay. Let's go back. Daryl worked here in the 80s.
In the 80s. I started in 88.
Oh, you look good.
To 88 to 99.
Oh,
I started my career. This is my first job.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
We got some good stuff.
Yeah. He was a teller in this building.
Yes, I started in this building when nothing was down here. While nothing was down here, but Industrial Bank, Lee's Flower Shop, Ben's Chili Bone, and Edwards Liquors, and Duron Paint. That was all that was here. That was here. That was all that was here.
So when you talk about Duron Paint, it was still Chocolate City.
Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Very.
Yes.
Oh, Chocolate.
Yeah, they were the building, the subway down here.
Oh my goodness.
And the subway was a time that was really tough for businesses here.
Yes.
That's why when Daryl,
why do you say that?
Because they closed off the streets. They closed off this this intersection here.
Yes.
So they closed off U Street.
Yes, so you only go cross over U Street, but you couldn't go up and down.
Right.
When I was here.
You could go north and south.
Yes.
So how did they profit? People coming in.
Oh yeah, the business is closed.
Yeah.
So when he said the only businesses were here was the five he just listed, he really means that.
Yeah, literally.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Because others had closed because you couldn't get to them during the subway. Yeah. So when they were building the Green Line, which is the subway here, when they were building the Green Line, there was problems with the contractor. I believe the contractor, if I remember correctly, filed bankruptcy, and there was issues with the district, and it just went on for a long time. And Lee's Floors, Rick Lee of Lee's Floors, can go on and on and on about how that really impacted their business.
We were thriving all year. We stayed busy the whole time while I was here, like lines out the door busy.
Okay. But for the small, you know, chicken wings shop,
they suffered.
They suffered.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's funny. I learned something I didn't know, but also it's funny when we just talking about, looking through the Industrial Bank history book and all these long time employees. And so it was like back in the day, but here you go.
And then I returned. I came back in January this year. So I started my career in here and ended here.
Okay, and tell us your name again and your position.
Daryl Droney, Vice President, Branch Manager, and Business.
Thank you. You're good too.
I know.
She must have picked up the vibe.
Y'all, this is Miss Aaliyah, the famous Ben's Chili Bowl, legendary Ben's Chili Bowl down the block, and the mother, the matriarch,
is
happening.
We're going, excited that you came in because we're being interviewed about the history of the bank. And how can we talk about the history of the bank without talking about Virginia Alley and Ben's Chili Bowl and look who comes through the door?
Oh my goodness, I gotta see how we can work this out. I'm supposed to be home at 3:30.
Okay. But, don't worry, we're just gonna keep going.
We can do it. And I mean, you know, I love this place. I brag about it all the time.
I didn't know you was a tailor here.
I worked here from 1950, late 52, until 58.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And then she ran off with a man.
No, the man we saw each other right here.
He said he ran off with a man.
Yes. You know how it happened.
Yes, because you told me.
The man was your husband.
I'm working right up there.
He saw you. I saw you when you was young. I know you was the bomb.
Right up there, and he comes and I serve him. And he comes back the next day and I serve him. And the third day, I noticed the other two girls were not busy. He's still waiting, acting like he doesn't know they're there. And he served. I served him again, and he served a note. He slipped a little note.
Will you go on a date with me?
Would you please call me? And he signed his name and put the phone in. Well, a lady wouldn't be caught dead calling somebody at that time.
Come on, that's right, because we do not chase. All right, go ahead.
A lady wouldn't be caught dead doing that, so I couldn't call him. I thought he was cute, though.
Exactly.
I didn't call him.
Right, exactly.
But he was very sure of himself. He was 6 years older than me. Mm. He was very sure of himself, and he decided that he would call the bank at 2:20. The bank closed at 2 in those days.
Yeah.
2:20, the phone rings, and somebody answers it and yells, "Virginia, telephone."
Persistent.
I go, "Hello," and he goes, "This is Ben Allen. Why didn't you call me?" I don't know you, sir. And he goes, "Well, what would you like to know?" And before I could respond, he started to tell me where he came from, where he went to school, and what he was doing, and he had been at Howard Middle School.
Shout out to Howard.
So I said, "Wait, you were at Howard Middle School?" He said, "Yeah, I didn't finish the program, but yes, I was there for a little over a year.
Wow.
So I go, "Do you know Dr. Joe Henry? Do you know Dr. Basil Keene?" I named 4 people. He said, "Of course."
Wow.
"And Dr. Keene is my friend."
Oh my goodness.
So I said, then he asked me like, "Dinner?" No, I said, "Okay, we know the same people. I'm thinking we know the same people." So I can give him my phone number. So I gave him my phone number. He called me at home, asked me out for dinner, and I suggested he have one of his friends accompany him to my home and meet the friend.
I know that's right. You made him work for you. I know that's right. Take notes, young women, okay?
He brought Basil Keene with him.
Wow.
And we met the family, we made a date, and the rest is history.
Yes, indeed.
And then she ran off with the man.
And you all started, you are of legacy.
That's the name of your legacy business, your family business.
Ben's Chili Bowl.
How long has it been around?
Since 1958.
When she ran off.
And I was 24 years old.
So what do we say, y'all? I'm a movement by myself, but I'm a force. You see when they came together? No, not all that.
I've spent most of my life on U Street. And I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I'm thinking, maybe I'll be a teacher, but then when I worked here, and I realized how much I enjoyed interacting with different people, one after another, I really enjoyed that. Wow. So I'm thinking, am I going to just stay in the bank for the rest of my life? I guess I will. Mm. I was perfectly happy.
Wow.
And then the guy comes along and asks if I'd be willing to partner with him after I fell madly in love with him.
Love, business, business and love, the best combination.
Yeah, so here we are.
Mm, yeah, here we are. Wow. Okay,
she
done.
Came in at the right time.
I'm so blown away to see you.
Oh, me too. This has been a great afternoon.
Thank you so much. We had a surprise, Miss Ali. We got some celebrities that came in here, y'all, okay?
Oh, she's still here.
And she's still there. Because she's family. She can stay.
She can.
Any final words for our diaspora family? Just where you see Industrial Bank, the future of them and the future of us. What's your final words?
So, let's see. My final words would be that we need to continue to have support through loans and for people to want to invest in our banks. Buying stock. And I would say those are probably the two big things that we would love to have to keep our banks growing.
And what about you? As you're going into your third and fourth ad?
Yes, I'm not a full-time employee anymore. I'm a part-time employee working on special projects. And because I did this for 40 years?
Mm. All your life?
Yes, correct. All my life. Right. And now I like doing whatever I want to do.
Yes. And you can do that.
Yes, I feel like I can do that, and I'm doing it. I also worked with the New York fashion shows. I worked at the Thanksgiving parade one time. I dressed the models at the fashion week, and this past September I was a model in fashion week. So I'm doing things I'm doing things I have never done, and I say that I'm trying to find myself, and my sister-in-law says, well, you're taking a long time because you keep doing a whole lot of different things. So anyway, I just feel like I'm going to do whatever I want to do.
And you're doing it well. Thank you, sis. I'm so proud of you. We're so proud of you. And just thank you.
And I just got married a year ago. It's really a good time.
He is blessed. He got him an angel. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And I'm blessed too.
And he blessed too. That black love again. Yep. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the interview. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Beautiful. Love it, y'all. Thank y'all so much for joining us in Industrial Bank with our royal family. And again, this isn't one of our royal families. For some of y'all that's in the back of the classroom, y'all kind of slow. It look like us. Okay. Please continue to support Industrial Bank. We need to open more black-owned banks, and we need to support our black-owned businesses. That's the assignment. That's the task at hand.
Absolutely.
Peace and blessings, black love, black power.
All right.